This Thursday and Friday nights, May 10th and 11th at 8 p.m., Marble City Opera will present Dominic Argento's one-act opera, Postcard from Morocco. Performances will be given at the Jackson Terminal, located in the Old City in Knoxville. And here to talk with me today about this production is stage director James Marvel, artistic director Catherine Frady, and a name and voice that may be familiar to some of you, bass baritone Dan Barry. Wonderful to have you all here today. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
James, I understand that this opera doesn't really have a plot per se, but is a series of vignettes sung by each character?
That's right, yeah. I mean, in a sense, it has a very surreal quality to it, but it's wonderfully imaginative, and the places that it takes you, there's always a surprise around every turn and every corner, and at times it's very serious, at times it's very silly, eccentric, wacky, mm-hmm. and at times it gets not too dark, not overly dark, but definitely there are some surreal moments that take place.
Mm-hmm. And it all takes place in a railroad terminal.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah. The opera is originally set in a train station, mm-hmm. a railroad terminal, and I think it's a brilliant choice on behalf of artistic director Catherine Frady to have set it.
Thank you.
in the Jackson Terminal, and
it's a beautiful space actually, and it's actually occupied by All Occasion Catering.
Okay.
And they do lots of different events in this portion of Jackson Terminal. Mm-hmm. So it's really a beautiful space. It's very live. It's going to sound like a rock show with opera singers.
Awesome.
It's really exciting.
That's fantastic. And so each character is sort of attached to an item. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So each of the characters has a specific prop or item or suitcase. In the case of Dan Barry, it's a cornet case, for example. But he also has a puppet, a suitcase of puppets, for example. And in a sense, it's almost like the feeling feels as though it's set in purgatory or something like that, where the souls are kind of trying to work out what they don't really know who they are. There's no real sense of past or future.
So it really reminds you of traveling. Mm-hmm. If you've been in the airport recently, this will really remind you of
that. You don't know anything about that, do you?
I don't know anything about it, no.
Well, you know, it's actually what it made me think of, actually, is when I was in my 20s and 30s, I traveled extensively throughout Eastern Europe, and I had all these insane experiences in the train stations. Like, one time I got robbed by a woman who I thought was a nun. She had the nun's habit on, uh-huh. and she had a prosthetic arm in her habit. So I was helping her with her luggage, and while I was doing that, she actually had a real arm inside of her habit going through my luggage on the floor of the train.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, that kind of experience is, like, exactly the kind of thing, the kind of bizarre thing that happens in this show.
Wow.
So we call it surreal, but it's amazing how in real life can...
No, that's probably more surreal than what's going on in this show.
Fair enough.
A nun with a prosthetic arm? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right.
Right, you know, exactly. So
that's quite
no,
a story
no
there.
Kind deed goes unpunished.
And so there are seven characters in the opera. Can you tell us who they are?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a really wonderful cast. In the role of the tenor, we have Brandon Evans, who's actually been with Marble City Opera before.
He was last seen as Alfredo in our production of La Traviata.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also in Suites by Kate. We have Ryan Ford playing the lyric tenor.
Mm-hmm. And he was in Gallantry, if you saw that show before.
Mm-hmm. And the mezzo character is Jennifer Barsamian, who I had actually worked with, I won't say how many years ago, but we were both babies then. Ryan Colbert is playing the soprano. Kat Richmond, who's in from Atlanta.
Kat's playing the coloratura, yes.
And Colin Levin is playing the baritone. And our wonderful Dan Barry is the bass. And
the puppet master.
The puppet master.
Typecast. The cornet player, not quite so much.
Right.
Unfortunately, he never takes his cornet out of the suitcase, and that's good because I wouldn't know how to blow the first note out.
Or which end to blow.
That too.
Dan, your character is a very interesting one. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about the puppet maker.
For the first part of the show, he is a man who carries around a cornet case, which he won't open, mm-hmm. and that's the case with all of the characters. They talk about what's in their luggage, but they won't show anybody what's in their luggage. So mm-hmm. whether the cornet player actually has one is very much open to question, but he proudly tells everybody he can. And then about three quarters of the way through the show, he's going to transform into the puppet maker, mm-hmm. who may be controlling all the other characters in some way, may not be, but he delights in explaining to people in a kind of a fake Eastern European accent, which nobody's complained about yet, I guess. It's no particular nationality.
No.
I'm kind of channeling Coppelius in the Tales of Hoffmann with Bela Lugosi. That's what I have.
That's
in
great.
My mind.
A little Bela Lugosi in there never hurts.
But he likes to explain the fingernails he paints and the faces and the hair he glues on. And he implies at the end that everybody's a puppet and maybe someone who shall not be named is going to be a puppet next.
That's right.
How would you describe Argento's music?
It varies. There's a certain identity to it, generally speaking, but he picks liberally from jazz, mm-hmm. From Viennese operetta. Mm-hmm. There is, some of it is atonal, although he never drifts far from key, but there are lots of things where the characters are in E-flat and I'm trying to find a D. And there are tone rows in it as well. It's just, it's a very eclectic piece, and it's all over the place. And in the middle of it is actually a piano piece that was done by Gabriel Fauré and André Messager called Souvenirs of Bayreuth.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So it's all over the place, but it hangs together very well. Mm-hmm. And you come away from it recognizing an identity and a tonal identity mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. Argento, who I guess is 90-some years old. He's still living.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
he is,
right.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to sing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
but we do have Maestro Peter Leonard at the the podium, and he's just a wonderfully gifted conductor. We're so lucky to have him living in Knoxville. And, I mean, he used to run the Rostock Opera House in Germany mm-hmm. and is, you know, conducting in Berlin this summer. And is just a wonderfully knowledgeable man who we're very fortunate to have here at Marble City Opera.
Yeah. What is the orchestration for the orchestra?
We'll be using piano. There's a train whistle and also some percussion, a little bit of drums that will happen as well. This is one of our lighter orchestrated shows. It does have a 7 or a 9-person orchestra that we're not actually using.
Okay. So. And that'll be performed by Brandon Kofer.
Brandon Kofer, yes.
Wonderful. Although there is no singular plot in the show, there are definitely themes and an overarching subject matter. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
Sure. I think that the opera really kind of touches upon some of the most basic fears and instincts in human existence. I mean, on some reason, the reason I kind of compare it to taking place in a purgatory of sorts is that, you know, at times you see these characters being a little bit malicious towards each other, always extremely distrustful, and yet somehow through that mixture and that milieu, there emerges things that are truly beautiful and truly tender, even within that distrust and within that confusion that sort of guides you through the opera. And I think that while it may not make a logical sense, it makes a profound emotional sense. And so I think that the effect for the audience is that they'll find it an extremely satisfying evening that will sort of make emotional sense to them when it's all said and done.
Someone described it, it's parallel in theater as Samuel Beckett's plays, that it's a little bit on the surrealistic part. And just like in Waiting for Godot, Godot never shows up. The train never shows up in this show, but
Right. Apparently
a ship sailing through the sky does.
Right, yeah. I think that there are definite comparisons. I think the comparison to Beckett is fair. Although I think for me, whereas Beckett, I think the ultimate point is solitude and desolation and solipsism, I think that there is something for me at least that's a little more redemptive in this piece.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm just projecting.
Well, it sounds like it just kind of describes human nature, the good and the bad.
I think so.
Well, James, Catherine, and Dan, I believe that's all I have for you today. As always, thanks for visiting us here at WUOT.
Thank you for having me back.
Once again, Marble City Opera presents Dominic Argento's opera Postcard from Morocco Thursday and Friday nights at 8 p.m. That's May 10th and 11th. Performances will be held at the Jackson Terminal located in Knoxville's Old City. Tickets and information online at marblecityopera.com.